Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears? Cam Kardashian? Paris Hilton? Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Oh, look at you!
All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it's time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. I'm Brian Hammer Jackson, and we are worldwide. Today is August 24th, 2023. 8 a.m. in California. We're doing the show. If you'd like to come and be part of the show, the number that you can call in, and you should know it because this is internet radio. You have the number right there, but some people are using their phones, and I'll say it anyway. So the number is 319-527-6099. That's 319-527-6099. That'll get you in the show. I'll get you in the studio. You can promote whatever you want, as long as you stay on topic. Today's show, excuse me, I have to cough. Today's show, conspiracy theories. The truth starts here. You know, conspiracy theories, where do they come from? How do they start? Well, we're going to give you an idea of where they come from and how they start. And it's going to be a very interesting show. Again, if you do have a conspiracy theory, you want to test it out and see if I have the answer. Again, the number is 319-527-6099. That's the number. It's early in the morning, and I got to get my coffee. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to go through the news first, and we'll get to our main topic. So let me get my coffee. I want to say hello to the Ebony Queen, Laverne. Thank you, sweetheart. I'm going to get my coffee, give people a chance to come to the studio. Again, the number is 319-527-6099. That's the number. And that's the number that gets you in the studio. Boys and men, men and boys, women and girls and women. Why can't we just understand each other? Maybe we don't. I don't know. But here's a song that'll probably explain it, and I'll be right back after coffee, and we get to our main topic, conspiracy theories. The truth starts here.
Boy, even just for a day, I'd roll out of bed in the morning and throw on what I wanted and go. drink beer with the guys and chase after girls. I kick it with who I wanted, and I never get confronted for it, 'cause they stick up for me. If I were
a boy, then girl, you'd understand. You need to stop listening to your friends. Love, respect, and trust your man. So I go to clubs with a guy, and sometimes flirt with a girl. I should be able to roll out as long as I'm coming home to you and give you the world. But you're not a boy, so you don't have a clue, babe, how I work and pay the bills. Girl, everything I do is for you. Everyone is broken, so they think that I was sleeping alone.
Girl, you know that's wrong.
I put myself first and make the rules as I go. Cause I know that she'd be faithful, waiting for me.
Let's go to the news. Yes, I did. I did watch the debate last night. Most people did. And here's a little soundbite from it. And let's see. Here we go. I guess it's from Fox.
Was, and he joins- joins us now. So, Mr. Ramaswamy, thank you. You were at this. You really took a lot of. You were at the center of a lot of these confrontations tonight.
It was fun.
And you got the. Good. I'm glad you seemed very sporting about it. You got the second most time of any of the candidates. But was it at the end of the day, or how was it? Let me ask you, because I know what your answer is. How was it?
I think it was a success.
A success.
Yeah, I think
was it an
unambiguous success for us, and it exceeded my expectations. Because the truth of the matter is, every candidate on that stage had been in many political debates before. This was my first. And so to come out as, I think, the clear winner of the night, I think, is an honor for me. But we're just getting started with the campaign. And it was a great opportunity to actually offer a vision. A lot of the other candidates on the stage were focused on Joe Biden. I think Joe Biden's a disastrous president. But I think we have to offer an affirmative vision of our own, an actual alternative, running to something. And I think I was the only candidate in this race that's been doing that so far. I'm the only candidate who did that on the stage tonight. And my sense is it landed very well and propels us to the next phase of this campaign. I think pretty soon this is going to be down to a two-horse race between Trump and myself. And I think this was a big step in helping us get there.
Well, if Trump does focus his fire on you, you know how good he is, as Ron DeSantis can attest, and many other candidates in 2016, how good he is at that. But I want to ask, Nikki Haley did step forward and question part of your vision on foreign policy. She said, quote, you have no foreign policy experience, and therefore she thought that your positions on Ukraine and support for Israel were wrong for the country. How do you answer voters who will say he's 38 years old, he doesn't really know much about the world in terms of geostrategy, in terms of the America's role in the world, and they aren't sure whether you can be commander-in-chief?
So look, I think voters do face a choice. If somebody has repeatedly crashed your car, do you want to turn over the keys to the same people who crashed it? I would not. The same people who got us into the Iraq War, the same people who have consistently lied about weapons of mass destruction, that have lied about not only bank bailouts domestically, but about Russia collusion hoax, about going now to lying about how much money is actually being spent and how in Ukraine. The non-transparency there, I think, is history repeating itself. And my view is it will just take an outsider who has a strategic vision for our foreign policy. I'm the only person who has offered a clear plan of how to end the Ukraine war on terms that advance U.S. interests. I'm the only person who's offered a clear plan of how to actually deter China from going after Taiwan while avoiding war over it. And I think that is not in spite of my being an outsider, but because of my being an outsider, where you have a lot of people, good people. These are good people on stage, but good people who are trapped in the slogans they memorized back in 1990, when in fact we have to realize the USSR no longer exists. The real threat is communist China. We depend on China today in a way that we never did on the USSR. That raises new foreign policy challenges where the old methods don't work. And I'm really the only guy who actually has a personal, deep understanding of that and can drive as commander-in-chief with an actual strategy rather than a rear-view mirror driving approach.
You know, and speaking of slogans from the 1990s, you called climate change a hoax where, you know, at this point the science... Yeah, the vast majority of people who study this believe that climate change is happening. The measurements are conclusive, and they believe that the evidence shows that human activity has a significant contributing factor. So, but you don't think that? You don't think that any of the carbon that the people have put into the atmosphere? You said it's a hoax.
I said the climate change agenda is a hoax. And I stand by that with conviction. And climate science wasn't my background, but I do have background in molecular biology from Harvard. I am tied to the facts. I believe in science. Okay.
All right, so you do believe, I just want to get you on the record, agree that the climate is changing as the vast majority
the
of the climate scientists believe.
Because of human activity.
Do you agree with that, or is that a hoax?
The climate has always changed because of human activity as long as human beings have lived on the Earth. So it's a meaningless statement. So climate-related disaster deaths down at 98% over the last century. A lot of people don't know that fact. That's an undisputed fact. Why? Because of more abundant and plentiful access to fossil fuels. 8 times as many people die of cold temperatures as warm ones. What we feared in the 1970s was a supposed ice age if we didn't stop using fossil fuels. Now it's global warming. And so I don't think the climate agenda is really about the climate. I think it's about global equity. It's about letting China catch up to the United States. That's what this farce is about. And it shocks me that the other Republicans on that stage are really just going along with the party line without independently looking at the actual facts and data for themselves. You know, and I follow from Alex Epstein to Bjorn Lomborg to even Steve Koonin, who is a physicist, served in the President Obama's Energy Department. I've read all their books cover to cover. And so this is something where I'm grounded in the facts. I don't just buy the talking points that come through the filtered knowledge synthesis ecosystem in the media. I go to the hard facts, and I will speak with conviction when I say the climate change agenda is a hoax.
Right. Well, Bjorn Lomborg, I've read him, too. He acknowledges that human activity has contributed to the warming of the atmosphere. Vivek Ramaswamy, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
There you go. That's the new guy who's running for president. Nutcase. He's a nutcase. All right, 7 takeaways from the first GOP. Here we go. I know you've been looking at it. This is for the primary debate. I'm not going to stay on it long, but here we go. Knives are out for Ramaswamy, the person you just heard. He's a 38-year-old. He was the target of more attacks than any other candidate on stage and wasn't even close. Ramaswamy, who never held office, took hits from Pence and Christie over his experience in Haiti over his foreign policy. Pence says to him, now is not the time for on-the-job training. We don't need to bring in a rookie. We don't need to bring in people without experience. That's what Pence said to him. Christie later accused the fast-spoken Ramaswamy of sounding like a chat GPT, referring to the popular digital tool. And Haley, after hitting him over his skepticism of aid to Ukraine and comments putting a timetable in support of Israel, accused him of having no foreign policy experience whatsoever. And it shows. Ramaswamy comes across like a guy in high school that everybody wanted to beat up. In fact, I thought Christie was going to slug him at one point, said the GOP strategist Bob Heckman. Ramaswamy repeatedly sought to tout his outside status as a badge of honor and drawing audience applause for saying the USA should invest more to protect its own southern borders rather than borders overseas. He was referring to the Ukraine monies that is keeping them fighting with the Russians. It goes on and on and on. This guy is basically a troll. And Pence, I was really surprised because he was more animated. Pence, he's a politician over his demeanor, but he was active. I mean, he was like an attack dog yesterday. It was good to see. He directed almost all of his, you know, ire at Ramaswamy. Though he did throw an elbow at the absent Trump, who he once again said had no right to ask him to reverse the 2020 election. Now, that's important when he said that, because there's going to be a trial. Pence already testified. And Trump says that when he talked to Ukraine, it was a perfect call. And beyond targeting Ramaswamy over his relative lack of experience, Pence also rebuked the foreign policy stances, arguing it was insulting to say that Washington had to choose between supporting Ukraine or border security. So it was a good one. I can read on and on and on. It was interesting. It was interesting, to say the least. And like I said, our shows today is going to be conspiracy theories. The truth starts here. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. We're going to go right to TED Talks regarding that. Give me another cup of coffee, but listen closely. This is regarding conspiracy theories. And I have the top 20 conspiracy theories that either you believe or were proven false. We'll do that after this. Here we go on conspiracy theories.
In 2009, Time magazine published a list of the 10 most popular conspiracy theories in America. This list includes some that you might be familiar with, such as the theory that we never actually landed on the moon or that there really are aliens in Area 51. This list also includes some that you might not be familiar with, such as the suspected second shooter in the JFK assassination or the theory that Paul McCartney actually died in 1966 and was replaced by a lookalike. Personally, I am fascinated by conspiracy theories. I love reading about them. I love watching documentaries about them. I love listening to podcasts about them. In graduate school, I even wrote my master's thesis about them. What fascinates me the most, though, is that conspiracy theories still exist, even when we have access to so much information. Today, we are going to take a look into two reasons why conspiracy theories continue to be so pervasive. But before we really dive in, let's define what a conspiracy theory actually is. Psychologist Van der Linden defined a conspiracy theory as an attempt to explain the ultimate cause of an important societal event as part of some sinister plot conjured up by a secret alliance of powerful individuals and organizations. So,
with flexible royalty-free plans, mix and match your assets. Try free for 30 days with Adobe's Doc.
They don't teach investing in school, and I think that's one of the biggest flaws of public education. Nobody teaches you how to invest your...
So, NASA never really went to the moon, the U.S. government orchestrated 9/11, and the Beatles covered up Paul's death, right? So now we're on the same page. Let's jump into our first reason why conspiracy theories are still so pervasive. The first reason is pretty simple, and it comes down to the Internet. Over the past 30 years, the amount of information we have access to has exploded. The floodgates have opened and we are drowning in information. So we have to pick and choose what information we see and what information we process. We tend to put blind trust in sources that might not be credible just because we saw them online. Conspiracy theories are built on information that might not be credible but is packaged to look trustworthy. Take fake news, for example. Fake news is misinformation that spreads like wildfire on social media, which is a perfect platform because it's easily accessible, but almost impossible to effectively regulate. For example, if I were to tweet, say, breaking, Buckingham Palace confirms Queen of England is a direct descendant of Dracula, and format it like a CNN tweet, it'll probably get some traction online, and I might even start my own conspiracy theory. So it's no wonder why conspiracy theories are able to spread so quickly online and are able to find their target audience. Believe it or not, there's a lot of research out there on what makes someone more likely to believe in a conspiracy theory. Research tells us that conspiracy believers have a high need for uniqueness, which just means that they like to be different and cool. They like the ability to claim membership to a small and exclusive community. Research also tells us that conspiracy believers tend to feel unrepresented in traditional forms of authority. It's a lot easier to believe that the government is lying about the existence of aliens when you already don't believe anything that the government says. So with the internet being our first reason, what about the second? Second reason why conspiracy theories are still so powerful is because they are based on narratives. Let me explain. Narrative theory centers on the idea that people are drawn to storytelling. Stories are fun. We love learning about them. We love sharing them. We love learning from them. Every culture is based in stories. For my personal research on conspiracy theories, I focused on analyzing the language that is used when they are discussed and shared online. In the name of research, I have joined several conspiracy organizations. I get regular updates on flat earth research and a monthly newsletter about UFO sightings across the country. And in looking at all of this communication, I noticed a lot of similarities between the organizations. The language that they use seems to take the reader on a journey, one that seems very familiar to me. How many of you have heard of the hero's journey? These lights are very bright, so I'm assuming that not everyone has their hands raised. So for those of you who are not familiar, The Hero's Journey was created by Joseph Campbell in 1949, and it is a collection of archetypes that appear in stories throughout human history. Campbell identified 17 steps and several basic archetypes that create a basic storytelling structure, where the hero receives a call to adventure, they leave what is known and comfortable, receive guidance from a mentor, face challenges and temptations, find whatever they are looking for, and are transformed as a result. Sound familiar? Without even thinking too hard, I can give you thousands of examples. Harry Potter, Star Wars, The Odyssey, Men in Black, every superhero origin story ever follows this format. And it's so persuasive because it's so unconsciously familiar to us. And in looking at the language of these conspiracy organizations, three of Campbell's archetypes really stood out to me: the hero, the mentor, and the shadow. When you come into contact with a new conspiracy theory, you have to make the decision whether you would like to learn more about it or not. Many conspiracy organizations and theorists use language that position you, the reader, as the hero. For example, the Flat Earth Society, which has over 5,000 registered members, myself being one of them, has an official website that states that the reader should expect to find the skepticism and understanding needed to break free from the dogmatic thinking and brave the pioneering waters of true science and learning. Very narrative language, right? The Mutual UFO Network, which has over 4,000 registered members, says that one of their organization's goals is to educate the public on alien encounters and UFO sightings, but it is for you to decide if you believe. Theorists and organizations can give you information, but you are the one with the decision-making power. You are the hero in their narrative. Conspiracy theorists and organizations take on the role of the mentor. You know the mentor as Dumbledore, Morpheus, Obi-Wan. They have the knowledge and the experience needed to guide you, the hero, on your personal journey. For example, 911truth.org, which is a website dedicated to exposing the U.S. government's involvement in 9/11, describes themselves as a small group of committed truth advocates who have worked tirelessly over the years to compile an accurate historical record. They have information no one else does, and they are offering it to you for use in your own journey so you can overcome challenges and temptations. And challenges and temptations take form in the role of the shadow. You know the shadow as Voldemort, Maleficent, Thanos. In a conspiracy narrative, the shadow is traditional belief in authority organizations. I mean, think about it. To believe that the Earth is flat, you have to ignore everything that NASA stands for. To believe that the Holocaust never happened, you have to discredit historical canon. Conspiracy theorists and organizations present these beliefs as the shadow, so it's something you have to overcome in order to find the real truth. I've compiled these three archetypes together to create what I call the quest for truth. You, the reader, are called to question your beliefs. You receive guidance from a mentor who gives you information to help you overcome the shadow, traditional belief in authority organizations. After that, you're able to find real truth, and you are transformed as a result. You return back to your comfortable space, a changed person who regularly attends Flat Earth meetings. So, why are conspiracy theories still so persuasive? One, we haven't gotten good yet at separating real news from fake news. And two, conspiracy theorists are really good at telling stories. It's important to know why these theories are still so persuasive so that next time you are confronted with one, you're able to better defend against misinformation and misleading storytelling. It is just as important to know when to answer the call to adventure as it is to know when you should just hang up. Thank you.
There you go. We'll get more in depth with that. Good morning, Pat, and good morning. I think this is beautiful Laverne and pretty Pat.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Laverne. Good morning. Conspiracy theories, you know, that was some good information, I would think. One second. Do you guys have any conspiracy theories that you question about? Some may not be conspiracy theories to you because you did your research. There's been enough evidence to convince you that, okay, this is true. But is there anything that you're still wondering about that you're on the fence? Anyone? Laverne? Pat? Any theory?
No. Not really.
Okay. Okay.
No,
do you guys
I'm just
believe
not
that?
Theory enough.
Yeah. And I know you just woke up, Pat, for the show, too. And thank you for coming in, sweetheart. Thank you so much. But there's been some, for instance, Bigfoot. I'll just throw it out there. Laverne, Bigfoot. When I say that, what's the first thing that comes into your mind, kiddo?
When you said Bigfoot?
Bigfoot, uh-huh.
I say believable.
Unbelievable or believable?
Believable.
Really? Now, I've been hearing Bigfoot for a while, ever since I was a kid. And do you think it's one Bigfoot, or do you think there's a colony of Bigfoots or a family of Bigfoot or Bigfeet, whatever you want to call them? What do you think, Laverne?
I think that there's a I don't know about colony, but I do believe that there's more than one.
Mm-hmm.
And they still talks about that as I don't know if they're still calling them Bigfoot or
mm-hmm.
a skinwalker or what, that's in national parks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some places in national parks you can't go because they have been seen there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, that's an interesting theory because if it's the same Bigfoot, he has to be at least over 100 years old. But then again, if you're thinking it's a family, then that means there must be more than one Bigfoot doing that. If there's more than one Bigfoot, then how many are there? You're right. This could be interesting, and we're going to get to the bottom of that, too. And I'm going to say the same thing to you, Pat. Do you believe in Canada, I think Bigfoot was spotted a couple of times. Am I correct, Pat, or no?
Well, you hear about it, yeah. I don't know. I don't particularly believe it.
Okay. And why do you not believe Bigfoot?
It's another conspiracy theory.
Now, Pat, some people don't believe in ghosts. Some people do not. Well, no. I understand. I mean, we all have choices with everything. But some people believe that there's not enough evidence to prove that that when you die, that you go to the light and you're okay, you can never come back, or you're in a waiting room, or maybe you're condemned to be on Earth for a period of time because of the sins and reincarnation. I'm going to ask you, do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah, I do.
And
I've
why?
I deal with a lot of them.
Okay. Now, dealing with a ghost, and some people go, oh, my gosh, he's dealing with a ghost. Okay. Now, you have to remember, I have to play devil advocate to the other side, Pat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I have to be that voice.
Yeah.
How do you know that you're talking to a ghost? How do you know it's actually, quote, a ghost?
Well, I haven't talked to one more than a couple of times. That was extreme circumstance. But, I've had to deal with them. I can feel them. I can see them a little bit. And Mm-hmm. When they're in a home, they do cause distress just being there, you know,
okay.
Because people don't know what they're feeling.
I was, I had a landlady downstairs, and she believed in spiritual beings, ghosts, entities, so on and so forth. Before she left, she asked me to come down. It was like at 7 p.m. I went down. She was sitting in a chair across from me. I was sitting on her sofa.
Mm-hmm.
And as she was talking, she had both her hands, you know, rested on the chair, on the arm of the chair, talking to me normal. And puffs of white smoke started just appearing around her. It was really quickly. And I asked her,
really?
I know she didn't smoke cigarettes. Yeah, she did not smoke cigarettes. I knew that. I was wondering if she had some incense that, you know, that pops through the air or something. I'm saying, I said to her, I'm going, I'm seeing little puffs of smoke around you. It was quick, you know, quick burst. She says, oh, that's my grandma so-and-so. I said, your grandma so-and-so? She goes, yeah, she's here. Now, that's what she said. I cannot to this day explain why that smoke. It was white. It wasn't dense smoke, like fire
mist.
Smoke. It was a mist. Exactly. That's exactly what it was. And so I'm telling, and I've seen this, Pat. This is from my own eyes.
Yeah.
Do you believe in that? Do you believe what I saw that was, it's true? Do you believe what I saw
was
true?
Yeah, because the mist could be accumulated humidity around the person
mm-hmm.
and gets gathered together.
Mm-hmm.
The entity or the ghost, I mean, she could be, it could work through her,
mm-hmm.
you know. Or mm-hmm. with her, I don't know. I've never managed to talk to one. No, I know people that do. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they absolutely do. They talk to ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the lady one night I was doing readings at the Spire, and another lady I was with was doing the psychic ghost stuff from the stage, and she'd say, well,
mm-hmm.
I'm feeling this, and blah, 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 and
right.
whose family is that, right? And somebody
mm-hmm.
in the audience would say something, and
Pat?
Okay. Hang on a second.
All right,
John interrupted me.
Sure. No. That's okay, because I'm going to ask Laverne a question. Laverne, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Some people believe that if you got a Ouija board, you're opening yourself up to another world, a portal to another world. Some people believe that, and they don't want Ouija boards near them. Now, could that be true for UFOs? Meaning that if you're open to it, and you're sensitive to it, and you're looking to it, that you're more successful, that they will come to you, because it's almost like a portal, and they're so they can feel you, and they're drawn to you. This is why a person who finds that they are looking for, I don't know what you want to call them, aliens or whatever, let's just say for that, lack of any other word, could it be the same as a Ouija board, that you are open to it, they can feel you, and they come to you. Pat, Laverne, do you believe that?
Well, yeah, I think that's a great possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of things, that, like you said, when you're open, because when you're not open to something, say,
mm-hmm.
supernatural,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to use that word, that you have a tendency to doubt.
Right.
But when you're open to... to things, you have more of you gain an interest, and you start, like I said, being more open. And yes, I think the more open you are, you will experience more supernatural happenings because you are open.
And you're more aware of it, and you're looking for it. Right. And I have to ask you, do you believe in other beings from another planet that have been visiting us? Do you believe that?
Of course. But I also believe that they have been mm-hmm. here before. They have been here and still here really before mm-hmm. or during the first civilizations of man on Earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm,
I believe mm-hmm. they were contact, you know, they, and that's what some of the, like the Mayans or the Sumerians and all, they called gods, because
right.
when, when they came down, they showed them different, gave them different knowledge
mm-hmm.
of how to survive and how to thrive, and
mm-hmm.
so they may have called them gods when they. Some of them may have been gods, but not all of them.
Okay, that's fair. And do you have proof that aliens do exist? That do you have proof that they are here or they were here? Besides reading books from other people's stories, do you personally have proof that they were here or they're here?
No, I have never experienced any
mm-hmm.
type of alien
mm-hmm.
had any type of alien experience or whatever. No,
mm-hmm.
I do not have any proof.
Mm-hmm. But without proof, you're still convinced that they're here. Would make you convinced, sweetheart? I can't call you sweetheart because we're on air, so you have to pretend that I don't know you, ma'am. But what made you convinced that they exist if you don't have any proof that they are, that they do?
Because sometimes you have an inner knowing, and when
mm-hmm.
you have an
mm-hmm.
inner knowing, you can explain why you know
mm-hmm.
something.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had an inner knowing that UFOs, aliens, or what name we want to give them,
right,
are really
right, right.
our sisters and brothers. But
mm-hmm.
You know, you just say, well, I know without having that proof, that inner
mm-hmm.
knowing. Just it's a lot like having belief in religion. A lot
right.
of them have never seen God or Jesus or whoever they serve or worship.
True.
But they believe
True.
It, you know. Now, I don't know if they have an inner knowing or not, or just a belief, because there is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But it's you know, it's about, lines up about the same.
You're a friend of the show. I told this story. I won't tell it again, but I have to tell it because it has to relate to the thing. As much as I have not seen an entity one time, I'm going with, I told this story about my dog. I had a boxer, white boxer, who was deaf. And towards the end of his life, he started looking at the corner of a door of a bedroom. And as he passed, he lay down in my arms. He passed, but then he had one last breath that he took. He lifted his head up. He looked at the same spot and slowly lay down again. There was nothing in that area. And before he passed, he would follow something with his eyes and would go out the window. And he would just, you know, not his body, just his head. He would move towards, as it was moving, and I went out the window, and then he was totally looking at me. So that's then I knew something was there. And that was the same theory as UFO. I told the story, Dark Road, Orange Orchard, 11 p.m. I saw a bicycle just spinning in this dark road by itself. The wheel was still turning. And I did see, I don't know what it was. It was some odd shape, and I hate to say this stereotypical thing with the head kind of odd looking and oval. I wish I would have went closer, but, you know, my hair stood up in the back of my neck, and I said, I need to get the hell out of here. You know, I to this day, I feel that, I really did to this day. I feel that maybe it was somebody that I could have helped, you know, they got hurt. So I started to run, and then I stopped. I ran about maybe 50 feet, and I stopped, and I looked just to see maybe I should go help. And it was gone, like it was never there, never there. That's my story. And I told that story, and it's a believable story. So do I believe in UFOs? I don't know. There's some people believe that we have the lack of word crossbreeding every, and you know, I've heard of ship shaping or something that they can more. You know, there are people who believe that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. I will see a news. I will see once in a while. I will see an anchor on the news, and their neck looks like that is not human. You know, so I would look closely, you know, like, you know, when the gay man wants to be a woman and he tried to hide the Adam's apple or the big hands that you can distinctly say, okay, that's man. Maybe you cannot hide the neck. I mean, I could swore some of these people on TV look a lot like an alien. Pat, glad you're back.
But you
welcome
know.
Back. Yes.
Hollywood always put the truth out in plain sight for you. They, like you said, they have been putting UFOs and little flying saucers and little green men out for so long now. But if we're going to always see it as fiction, but you can't say that it don't exist because really Hollywood put stuff out there. But we look at it as just entertainment, and it goes on by our heads. And but hey, like I said, they can't be accused of not letting it out.
Yeah, yeah Vern, that's a lot like the psychic type of movies with terror and stuff. I can't watch them; they're too bright. Like a lot of the stuff in the film is too correct.
Right. Yeah.
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 There
are
definitely
we
people that have experienced it that are working on the films because it's too correct. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I do. I do.
Well,
so
I
don't watch any of those movies.
Well, you know, if you look at some of the horror films, and I looked into it, I'm a big horror film fan, and a lot of those horror films do have some real-life killers in there. I mean, like Freddy Krueger. There is, if you look at it, was it true or false, it's going to say true. I don't know where the kids are. I think they're in Bangladesh or whatever. And they would have these dreams and die in their sleep. So, you know, you get a Hollywood director going, okay, this part is true. And let's put in a monster. His name Freddy. So what I'm trying to say is a good lie has some truth in it. So maybe the movies that you're seeing for entertainment has a little bit of truth because it came from that. That's what I was thinking. That's where I was going with that, Pat. What do you think? So, it's hard to watch it.
There are movies that are just too close. Like, they freak me out.
Yeah.
And
I
just can't watch them because, you know, they know something, and they're putting it on film.
There's a movie out right now. It's a new movie out with Russell Crowe. Was it The Pope of Exorcist or something? I forgot the name of the movie. The Pope of... Do you remember what I'm talking about? The Pope...
No, I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah. Oh, Laverne, you might be interested. It's called The Pope's Exorcist. That's the one. It's out right now. I'm going to play the trailer. Russell Crowe's in it. It looks good. Here's the trailer. I'm hoping that you get dialogue and not just scary music. But the title sounds interesting to me. The Pope... So when I hear the words like the Pope, it's always I feel like it's a demonic thing. They're hiding something at the Vatican. You know, I'm thinking there's a secret chamber somewhere down there where their hidden secrets are all. You know what I mean?
there is.
I don't know.
Yeah,
probably.
There is. Yeah.
Really? Because I really feel that.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel that. Well, here's the trailer.
Whatever you do, you only do Gabriele on board. On the night of June 4th, you performed an exorcism.
That was not an exorcism. The majority of cases do not require an exorcism.
98% are recommended by him to doctors and psychiatrists.
The other 2%, I call it evil.
We have more questions for you, Father Amort.
You have a problem with me. You talk to my boss, the Pope.
There is a case that needs your attention.
Bring me the priest.
I'm here to help, Julia.
Wrong priest! Take caution. There are secrets buried there.
Is the Vatican sealed?
The church has fought against this demon before. The Vatican covered it up. We need to find out why.
You've been played. You talk the bait.
Whatever you do, you only do because God allows it.
Did he allow that?
Imagine what could happen if the devil possessed the soul of the Pope's exorcist.
Who will defend you?
Based on actual files, I know you only heard audio, but Russell Crowe did an amazing job on that. It looks good. Just what do you guys think? That's something
I think it sounds interesting, but I really needed the visuals.
Oh, you'll get. I'll put it in your. In fact, I'll put it in a thing. What do you think, Laverne? I'm gonna put it in your box too in Facebook. And you look at that.
Okay, now look, but uh-huh. I don't normally like movies like The Exorcist
right.
or whatever.
Right.
They don't, you know, I'm not into them.
Yeah, I can understand it. But, I don't know, secrets and stuff. I want to put it in your Facebook anyway, Laverne, just in case you
okay.
change.
Okay, no problem.
Because you recommended something to me that I, and then I loved. So maybe
you?
I can, it seemed like this is a good story, not just about possession, about maybe the you know, the scandal and whatever, I guess. You
mm-hmm.
know,
you might
whatever.
Get some
give
out of it. You're right.
You might.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
So, you got this choice. Here you go. I'm going to put it in your Facebook thing and then, you know, give it a shot. Hold on 1 second. 352, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer's Action and the most powerful Pat and the most powerful understanding and loving Laverne. 352.
Hey, man.
Hello.
Good morning, everyone. How y'all doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Pastor Don Jr., CEO, winning team. Good morning, Pastor Don Jr. Good morning.
I am here, Amber. Thank you.
Yes, and thank you for being here, sir. I really enjoyed it. We were talking about conspiracy theories, and then we went into UFOs, and we went into entities. And Pastor Don Jr., I got to ask you, I know the name, but I got to ask you anyway, do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe in ghosts?
I'm sorry, you cut out.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Hello. Oh, no, sir. I don't believe in ghosts. I do believe in paranormal activity. I know that's
cool. Ah.
But ghosts, no.
Now, that's out of my wheelhouse. Now, paranormal activity, isn't that considered spiritual and ghosts, or what's the difference between it, so I can learn?
Well, from my standpoint, this is personally from what I feel, paranormal activity is stuff you can't explain. Ghosts are physical objects you see and they haunt you. And I just personally don't believe in ghosts.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about conspiracy theories and what we believe in and why we believe in them and how
There's
they become.
It's a million conspiracies going on. It's so much stuff that go on. If you want to hide something, you do it in plain sight. That's what I was taught.
You know what? That's true. I tried to do that with an affair once. It didn't work. It didn't work, Pastor John. Didn't work. This is my sister from Alabama. We're going to go to bed now.
Oh, wow.
It didn't work.
But, you know, Pastor, I agree with him. When he said, if you want to have something, you put it in plain sight. But the one problem with that is people don't even know what they look for. So they never see it.
Ooh.
And like you said, it's right in their face.
Yes, ma'am. That's good teaching.
But you're actually right. It could be right in our faces, and we would not even know it. And that goes with theirs. And here we go. Here we go, everybody. We just played the Pope's Exorcist. Check it out, the trailer. That's on YouTube. Top 2022 conspiracy theories that turn out to be true. This is the beginning of our show, theories that turned out to be true. And I'll tell you guys, let me see if we can play the game. Let me see. I got to take a look at it. Is this a gameable? I don't know. Jump in anytime, people.
Something went wrong. Try again in a few seconds.
Uh-oh.
Well, that wasn't us.
That tells me Blog Talk is acting up again. Can you guys hear me? Stop it. Oh, you get out of here, you entity. Wow. What timing on that? Here we go. The last couple of years virtually transformed the meaning of the term. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Mainstream media spun these new stories as conspiracy theories, but they turn out to be true. In a recent episode of the Kim Iverson Show, political commentator Kim Iverson reviewed the top 10 stories in 2022. She said the mainstream media spun it as conspiracy theories, but it turned out to be true. Iverson said the conspiracy theories label was usually given simply for saying something went untrue. Yeah, the reality is that somebody, blah, 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 blah. Maybe we can make New Year, blah, 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 blah. According to the media, Iverson said that the trucker freedom convoy was just a bunch of racist Texas right-wing terrorists, and the protest was filled with a bunch of Trump-loving white supremacists. In reality, she said, Texas.
So we had a thing up here, too.
Yeah, it's called the Trucker Freedom Convoy. Let me hit this button here.
We had one. It was over the COVID restrictions.
Yep. Actually, there kicks off the People's Convoy kicks off at California Raleigh. Truckers begin to trek to D.C. What they're doing is it's a peaceful protest. Blah 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 blah. Well, here's some people talking about it. Kick off the People's Convoy. Here's the people talking about who they are.
California here. As the trucks right now roll out, And the reality is they are asking for freedom to be given back by the government. The government has declared, taken emergency powers. And the hardest thing for a government that takes emergency powers is they will never give it back. They maximally abuse the population. So the truckers are saying, look, with a gut feeling and common sense, this pandemic is done. Omicron is very mild. Why must I be constrained if I'm not vaccinated from earning a living, etc.? And the government did this. So the truckers are trying to educate the public in a peaceful, inclusive, blacks, whites, every possible ethnicity, religion can join. It's going to be a hell of a convoy. It's going to educate the nation and bring them out as to why the mandates and the emergency declaration must end.
They are trying to call attention to the restoration of our freedoms. But it's freedoms from non-scientific policies. As a physician, as a researcher, and as a COVID expert, we know the science, we know the data. The truckers need that support. It's not just about freedom. It's about taking back our health. It's about pragmatic, sound guidance, putting health as a primary consideration. And it's not just physical health. It's societal health. It's financial health, the return of our livelihoods, and really our lives and our unity. This thing is dividing us. We need to bring back together families and communities, all with truth. And we have to go back. We have to go back against these lies. I'm sorry, but these agencies are clearly captured by the pharmaceutical and vaccine industry. And they do not put patients before profit. Profits have always been their primary consideration. They've been doing this for decades. But now the toll is incalculable. They've literally now taken a global position, and they are ruining countries and health across the world. And I am so proud of our Canadian brothers and sisters and what they did up there with the convoy and all the people that came out to support. And I hope America shows up again, because this is about America. It's about going back to principles, yeah, not profits and not politics. And like Dr. Alexander just said, we are not looking for confrontation. This is about peace and unity,
yeah,
and just and right and freedoms. You know, that's what we are about in America. That's what we're supposed to be about. Well, we have lost our way because we've been lied to. And so I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, is I have to point out the lies. We have to speak truth, and we have to speak reason. That is all we're trying to do, and I'm just so glad that we have the trucker support. And it's not just the truckers. It's the engineers, the teachers, the lawyers, the bus drivers. Everyone's coming out, and I'm just I'm honored to be part of this.
The Canadian truckers started this with a gut instinct, the gut feeling that, look, the mandate must come down as well as the emergency declaration. Because the problem was the Canadian government instituted a policy where Canadian truckers who went across into America to drop car parts, to drop their goods and even bring stuff back in, as Canadians, they couldn't get back into the country unless they were vaccinated. So the truckers took a stand, and I was there for about 3 weeks. It was peaceful. The police worked with the truckers lovingly. I mean, I have photos, videos. The police would tell me on the street, hey, Dr. Alexander, I know you. I've seen you on Fox. I've seen you. I've read your stuff. I support what you're doing. Somehow or the other, the government implemented a policy. We have word that maybe foreign forces came and cracked down on the people. But here's the key. The key here is this. Omicron now presents as the mildest variant. So it does not present a challenge. It is so mild that the doctors, like Dr. McCullough, has even reported that high-risk persons may not even need early treatment. The variant is so mild, but the key issue is this. The vaccine has failed. It is highly ineffective. We even have reports of negative efficacy. And the key is that it does not stop transmission. If a vaccine does not stop transmission, why are you mandating it on me or the truckers as a condition? In other words, their rights now, by taking the vaccine and getting this vaccine passport, have become now privileges where the government can cut it off. The vaccine has failed, does not stop transmission, so the mandate must come to a close. There is no reason anymore for the pandemic emergency to remain in place. The emergency must be lifted. Government must declare the emergency over.
They are doubling down with a failed and toxic policy. I mean, let's be clear. The data is showing that these vaccines, these novel vaccines, are the most toxic intervention in the history of medicine. And yet they propagate and mandate, and they cannot find enough people to vaccinate. They're going after every younger. They're even trying to go after 0 to 5-year-olds, babies and toddlers, for whom the disease is nothing more than a cold, and yet they're subjecting them to a highly toxic intervention. And there's other mandates that have to come down. So the restrictions on physicians to practice medicine, to use their judgment, their clinical expertise, and their experience, their insights into disease, to have free reign to prescribe what they think is best for their patients. They're taking medicines out of pharmacies. They won't fill prescriptions. Pharmacists are obstructing us. Hospital administrators are telling us to use only their policies. We're literally being told how to treat a disease by bureaucrats who don't know medicine, don't know how to care for patients, and they're not COVID experts. If you look at the frontline doctors from all over the world, we've known how to treat it.
So the bottom line is that the truckers got together to protest about their freedom being taken away. And as you heard, I don't know if it originated in Canada, but the truckers got together, there's 600 of them, and they couldn't get back after they did the peace rally, and they tried to go back to Canada. You heard the story. They couldn't get back in unless they're vaccinated. I have a neighbor to this day, been here for 15 years. He has a daughter. He says he's moving. I said, why? He says, because I can't find a school that will allow her to go in unvaccinated. He doesn't want his daughter vaccinated. He's a pastor. He's clergy. So
hi, honey,
that's
I'm
what
on
he,
the phone.
That's okay. What he's up against. So that was that theory. That was that theory. There's a theory. And I could go with Pastor Don Jr. on this one because I know that he multitasks when he's on the phone. I mean, he's talking, he's doing work, he's doing this, and he has a home. That's right. You know, Pastor, I've heard this so many times. When they go to church, it's God's house. My argument is if I worship the Lord in my house, therefore it's God's house. If I believe in the Lord and I pray to the Lord in my own home, I consider God's house. Now, is my house less God because I don't go to a regular church?
No,
less
sir,
the Lord's
not
house?
At all.
Okay.
No, but they do teach you in the Bible, never forsake the assembly. And it's the everybody on the same page praying to God. That's how the prayers become real.
Oh, okay. Okay, because that's probably the answer that I was looking for. Because I was telling this about a show 2 weeks ago or whatever. I was saying, I don't want people praying for me, you know, if I have a situation.
Yeah.
And they say, why? I said, well, I don't think a lot of people are going to change God's mind. If God made up his mind and says, I'm taking you, I don't know if the prayers from Pastor Don Jr. to Laverne to Pat is going to, God's going to say, well, maybe they got a point. I changed my mind. I'm just going to give you a little pain in your, you know, in your tum-tum. I think his decision is absolute. So no matter how many times people prayed about it, Pastor Don Jr., CEO, how can you change God's mind if it's God's will?
Good boy.
You can't. You can't. His will is ultimate supreme. Once he got it made up, that's what's going to happen.
Right. So do prayers really, help Pastor Don Jr.?
Yes, and there's a scripture in the Bible that says at the end of days, when all everything ends and stops, he's going to pour out all those words on earth.
Mm. Okay.
Well,
that's,
I think they work, and I'm not religious.
Mm-hmm. You think they work, Pat? That's what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. It's the same as creative visualization.
Okay. Okay. Y'all better start praying for me now, because now I'm a believer. Hey.
Amen. Come on now.
You know, exactly. You know, but some conspiracy theories don't die. They just won't die, no matter how ridiculous they are. They won't die. I'm going to give you a couple of them right here. This woman can tell you a little better than I could. What I'm going to do, and don't take offense, I'm going to let people relax, have a drink, eat some breakfast, change the baby. So I'm going to mute everybody so you can hear it, and then we'll come back on the other side. So this may give you the answers to some of your questions about conspiracy theories. Let's give it a shot. And here we go. So don't hang up. I'm just going to mute. Don't hang up. Don't hang up. Okay, let's all enjoy this together. And here we go. Like I said, some theories won't die. Why? And here it is.
When I say conspiracy theorist, who do you see? Is he? And let's be honest, it's he, right? Unemployed? Uneducated? Maybe he lives in his mom's basement. Does he look a little like this? So we like this picture. This picture feels safe. You know, we feel no threat from this man, and we're not this man. We especially like this picture here at Duke because it helps us to believe that education is the best defense against false belief. But this itself is a false belief, a comforting conspiracy theory, if you will. The contemporary picture of conspiracy theory belief looks a little different than this. First of all, and let's just get this out of the way, 3/4 of Americans believe at least one conspiracy theory. And the demographics depend on the theory. So if we're talking about the theory that the moon landing was a hoax, maybe we are talking about our tinfoil hat man, right? The average believer tends to be male, lower income, lower education, Republican. He also tends to be a little bit older. If we're talking, on the other hand, about the theory that vaccines are a conspiracy of pharmaceutical companies to make you sick and take your money, the average believer is female and tends to be younger, upper middle class, with a post-secondary education, and Democrat and Republican in equal numbers. Belief look like today? Here's an example. So in 2012, a young man about your age wanted to know what all the fuss was about Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. He didn't really watch the news, so he went to Wikipedia, you know, as you do, which gave a fairly neutral account. But someone had dropped a phrase in there, black on white crime. And he was interested, so he Googled it. And his first hit was the Council of Conservative Citizens, which is a white supremacist website. He was hooked, and he spent the next 2 years deep diving into similar paranoid forums, finally posting a manifesto online that detailed this awakening, which is how we know the steps that he took. And now on June 17, 2015, Dylann Roof walked into a Bible study in a black church and killed 9 people, hoping to start a race war. So I've been teaching conspiracy theories for 1 year, and here are a few things that happened during that time. So 3 adherents of the QAnon conspiracy theory, which if you don't know is the theory that Trump and Mueller are secretly working together to bring down a global ring of pedophiles, bombed a mosque in Minnesota. Another man sent 6 pipe bombs through the mail to prominent politicians and journalists who he believed were part of a globalist conspiracy. And finally, a man in Pittsburgh, believing that there is a Jewish conspiracy to flood America with refugees, walked into a synagogue at worship and killed 11 people. And you might say, well, these are not the conspiracy theories that I meant, right? My tinfoil hat man believes that aliens landed at Roswell, not these violent racist theories. And you might be right. The face of conspiracy theorizing has changed. But we also forget that in their time, these theories were polarizing and political and racist too. As a student of mine pointed out, the frenzy over UFO sightings and aliens at Roswell can be linked to the same fear of infestation and infiltration that led to Japanese internment. So there is a growing connection between conspiracy theorizing and violence. And many have rightly recognized this as a crisis. But the crisis of what? It's a good question. A popular answer is that it's a crisis of media literacy, of truth. We're in a crisis of truth. The argument goes that we're, you know, fundamentally rational beings, that above all, we really do seek truth. It's just that in this post-truth moment, we've been left without the tools to verify our facts as we would like to. And the idea then is that this has led us to live in the divided times that we live in, which can all kind of be chalked up to some massive misunderstanding. If this is true, media literacy really would be the right answer. It would help us to sift through information critically and to correct the misunderstanding ourselves. So let's start with this proposed solution, media literacy. The first problem with this is that, unfortunately, it just doesn't work. Study after study has shown that being presented with information that contradicts a firmly held belief is more likely to backfire, to make you cling to that belief harder than it is to change your mind. The second problem with it is this. So I took this from a famous website, but I've sort of blacked out the society. The society believes that there is a difference between believing and knowing. If you do not know something and cannot demonstrate it by first principles, then you should not believe it. We must, at the very least, know exactly how conclusions were made and the strengths and weaknesses behind those deductions. Our society emphasizes the demonstration and explanation of knowledge. So these are pretty sound media literacy principles, right? Sound scientific principles, for that matter. The only problem is that it comes from our friends at the Flat Earth Society. So unfortunately, the core tenets of media literacy, don't believe everything you read, do the research yourself, think for yourself, are also the watchwords of conspiracy theorists. The final problem with this is that the premise is wrong. So media literacy is designed to counteract a misunderstanding, the ideological equivalent of losing your way. But Dylann Roof didn't lose his way. His path online was not an aberration. It is literally built into our media landscape in a couple of ways. So first, groups that are seeking to radicalize, seeking people like Dylann Roof, craft unique search terms like black-on-white crime, crisis actors, false flag, to take advantage of data voids where there are relatively few existing hits, and then use those data voids to direct traffic to their sites. Secondly, the tendency of content platforms to produce more and more radical content is not a bug, it's a feature. It's designed to keep you on the site. The more exciting a video is, the more likely you are to keep clicking. And because you have quickly become inured to the same level of excitement, the algorithm will recommend more and more radical content the longer you're there. So I did a little bit of an informal experiment on my own in August, and I created a dummy YouTube account, you know, with no watch history. And I began watching a video on ABC, an ABC video on the removal of Silent Sam. So that's what this is. And I watched that, and I don't recommend trying this at home. This led me in one click to a video on the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, produced by Russia Today, which led me in one more click to a homemade hit piece on Heather Heyer, the woman who was murdered at that rally, which led me in one more click to a video I'm not going to show a still of, but that was produced by the largest American neo-Nazi group. Four clicks from ABC to neo-Nazis. So this helps us to understand why the path to conspiracy theories is easy to find. But why do people go looking for it in the first place? And why, once they've found it, do they keep walking? So one thing that we talk about in my class is that we all seek patterns. They comfort us. And the more out of control we feel in our personal lives, in our work, in our world, the more we seek patterns to compensate. And this preference for patterns over noise, for narrative over data, is so strong that if the facts don't match our experience of things, we will find a story that does.
If you've ever tried to play guitar, but your fingers wouldn't cooperate, it's not your fingers' fault. In fact, it doesn't have anything to do with your fingers at all, or your age.
And there's nothing shameful about this. It has, on the whole, served us well. Communities unite over stories of their shared history and culture, and our stories of ourselves, of who we are and our values. They're what guide all of our major decisions, even if we don't always live up to them, in fact. Stories are how we unite, and they're what get us up in the morning. Conspiracy theorists are no different. People don't believe conspiracy theories because they're irrational or uneducated, or they just don't have the right information. Far above truth, people seek meaning and community. And conspiracy theories create a community around the answer to a pretty meaningful question: why do I suffer? So at the beginning of the 20th century, Americans experienced the suffering that was caused by the world wars and the Great Depression as a result of a social problem, a collective problem, a societal sickness. I suffer because we all do. But the social shifts that started in the 80s, the Great Recession, the end of domestic manufacturing, the end of long-term employment, most importantly for us, we understood these things as things that happened to individuals and because of individuals. So the root of poverty is your irresponsible behavior. The root of climate change is that sometimes I forget to recycle. The root of millennial financial precarity is that we spend our money on brunch, right? And so we've just decided to work harder, you know, rebrand ourselves for a lifetime of transient work, take on massive private debt, and just hope for the best, self-care ourselves out of mental health crises, and when it doesn't work, blame ourselves for not optimizing our time, for not managing our money well enough, for not getting the optimal summer internship for our resume. I suffer because of me. It's no wonder that some people reject this punishing answer. And conspiracy theories are there with a happy twist on this. It's not you. It's the caravan coming up from the south to rob you and take your jobs. It's the Muslims who are going to come in and put you under Sharia law. It's the Chinese who are going to come in and ruin your culture. I suffer because of them. And with the them comes a we. We who resist, who are united in this awesome feeling of resentment. QAnon has a telling catchphrase. They say, where we go one, we go all. Trust the plan, they say. Who wouldn't want to plan you could trust and to work together towards a common goal? In the face of all this, what do the facts really matter? So unfortunately, our realization that conspiracy theorists don't believe because they don't have the right information, they're misinformed, they're stupid, is a little bit of a double-edged sword. It helps us to sympathize with their position, but it also makes them responsible for it. Dylann Roof was led and groomed, yes, but he also wanted to believe. So confronting conspiracy theories is not about correcting a misunderstanding. It's about conversion, something any religious scholar will tell you is just not possible without the internal desire for it. So what do we do? So there's a very small thing, but it's really one of the only things that we know that works, and it's the reason you can't repeat that experiment I showed you earlier. Deplatforming. So after much pressure, YouTube took down that account that I had blundered into. So you can't go back and do that. Please don't. So we don't think that this should work, but does everybody remember Alex Jones? So for many years, he got attention by calling Sandy Hook and similar massacres a hoax and by directing his supporters to harass the parents of murdered children. At the height of his popularity, he got 1.4 million hits per day. And we all sort of wrung our hands about his popularity. You know, where there's a will, there's a way on the internet. And if we banned him from social media, his supporters would only be emboldened, as he boasted they would be. But finally, last August, Facebook and YouTube took him down, and Twitter put him on a temporary ban. Now think, when was the last time you heard anything about Alex Jones? Deplatforming works. And to answer the obvious question, this is not a matter of free speech. The principle of free speech is not the right to amplification on the platform of your choice. Part of believing in education, as I think we all do, is the knowledge that some ideas really are preferable to others. This is the basis of peer review, which in turn is the basis of the academy. You submit your ideas to a council of other experts, and they decide whether they should be amplified. So, for example, the idea that the tensile strength of a particular cable is 1,500 megapascals is preferable to the idea that it's 3,000, if only because if you believe the latter, your bridge is going to fall down. You're not forbidden from believing that it's 3,000 and even telling anyone you want. But you also probably wouldn't expect your professor to invite you up to her lectern to proselytize to your classmates. So the other thing that we can do is to stop treating this like a matter of fact. An ideological debate. Radicalization is not about being misinformed. It's about belief and anger and violence. So it might be time to admit that deep diving into conspiracy theorist rationale and trying to talk them out of it is a wasted effort and it's a distraction from action. We can redirect our efforts to places where we can actually make an impact on the larger phenomenon. One thing we can do is to start treating social media like the communities that they already are, with standards of conduct and strong, enforceable norms, by deplatforming radicalizers, and also trying to anticipate the ways in which they might take advantage of social media algorithms, proactively protecting the people that conspiracy theorists target, and finding a way to talk about our social problems that alleviates this pounding, I suffer because of me, but takes real responsibility for the fact that we do still suffer together. Thank you.
There you go. If you're still awake. Phone's still there. Any comments on this video that anybody heard? Any comment at all? I suffer because of me, but it's better to suffer with others. Is that true? I don't know.
I don't know. I think that we suffer because of us, because when I say us, I mean individually. Because once we disconnect from our true self, we suffer. Mm-hmm. But long as we can stay connected to our true self, our essence of who we truly are, then we have, you know, we have more things in our favor.
Yeah.
Than suffering.
I get that. I get that, Laverne. I do. I'm on the same lines as you. I think I'm getting feedback. So is somebody listening to the show while we're talking? Because sometimes I get feedback that way.
I'm not making noise.
Okay. I'll tell you what. There's a theory. Could be a conspiracy theory, and we all think about this, and it all comes back down to the penis, the mystical, magical creature called the penis. Now, the theory is...
Oh, wow.
You're going to have to bless this show one day, Pastor Don Jr. You're going to have to just bless this show. Now, you women came up with a theory. Women came up with the theory. About the hands, big penis, big feet, big penis. Some of you came up with a big nose, big penis. And that's how you can tell a guy's package. Well, I'm here to tell you the truth. Now, ladies, if you ever wanted to know what size penis you would have if you were a male, I'm going to give you the truth. And if you go to a store and you want to know what size penis a man has, I'll tell you how to do it. The real truth. What you do is stretch out your arm. And then you bring your palms up so it's like you have a crook in your hand. So your fingers are touched to the sky. So your arm is straight up. Got it? Everybody got it? And what you do is you get your index finger. Now, your index finger is 3 inches. You'll see your index finger. It is 3 inches. That's your index finger. Now, if you wanted to measure to see if you had a penis, what size would it be? What you do is you take your index finger to your wrist, put it down there, that's 3, and go down again, put another 3. You know what I'm trying to say. So, you know, at the end of that, you put another 3, and then go down from there. And that will tell you the exact size of the penis, believe it or not. So it's the wrist, so it's to the elbow. It's the wrist to the elbow, using your index finger, will tell you the exact size penis your man has, and that's what you look for in the store. Now, if you wondered if you were a male, and, you know, Pat always wonders, you know, if I was a male, what size penis would I have? Well, there you go. That's your answer, Pat. That would be your answer. That's how you can measure a man, and that's accurate measurement, by the way, ladies. You're welcome. That's our main. That was our main topic, the conspiracy theory. And going back to it, so going back to the trucker thing, the trucker freedom convoy, the mainstream media got a hold of it and said there were a bunch of racist Texas right wing terrorists. They were Trump loving supremacists. No. In reality, they were a bunch of truckers doing a peaceful march from Canada to the United States, over 600 strong, and they were marching against mandates about the vaccine, saying there should not be a vaccine mandate. It was a peaceful, that's the real story. But the conspiracy,
I wouldn't have believed the first story, because any time a topic or subject has terrorists in it, I dismiss it.
Right. You know, that's a good, I should think about that. That's good. And here's another one. You know, at the beginning of the pandemic, Dr. Gert Vander Bausche warned us that imperfect and overused vaccines could lead to dangerous viral mutations. That's what we were saying. People said, I'm not getting that vaccine because it could lead to dangerous viral mutations. The idea was heavily censored on social media, and Vanden Bush was called a quack. However, now the idea is being taken up by mainstream news services, pointing to January 1st in the Wall Street Journal, that asked if vaccines are fueling new COVID. You couldn't ask this question 2 years ago. And a COVID-19 lab leak theory, and it wasn't a conspiracy theory, it was true. He pointed out that the idea that the COVID-19 could have originated in a laboratory was heavily maligned and censored, yet now there's legitimate discussion about a possible lab leak causing the pandemic. Not that we're likely to find out the truth anytime soon, but nonetheless, the so-called conspiracy theorists were vindicated once again. So, yeah, they are shooting you up with, so when you do get a vaccine, you are being shot up with a live virus, live, in your body, traveling through your body. There you go. I've been vaccinated 4 times. I am now officially an alien, and I have my green card. I can go to any planet I want to. The mainstream media pushed the narrative that if you have your COVID-19 vaccines, they were safe and effective, with only minor side effects, and anyone who believed otherwise was ridiculed and considered a pariah to society. However, now it is undeniable that there are serious side effects. I suffer from one of them. I have 4 shots. And I don't know what it is. I got a short-term memory block. I never had that before. Is my short-term memory got affected by doing these vaccines? And this is what they're saying.
No, it's a coma, honey.
I could be. Well, I had it before the coma. The coma just added to it, baby. Seriously.
The coma
just added to it. It really did.
And I know many have said this is a conspiracy theory, a conspiracy. But and I'm going only by what I heard, that Dr. Fauci never take the COVID vaccine either.
You could be right, that bastard. See, if you use your intelligence, we're human beings. but we're not absolute. I do not have Laverne's DNA. I do not have Pat or Doctor or Pastor Don. I started giving you a Dr. Don, but Pastor Don Jr.'s DNA. So how can one shot take all of us on and not give us different side effects from it? You know what I'm trying to say? We're going to – maybe Pastor Don Jr.'s DNA has a stuffy nose. He has a cold. I'm walking around with a dead leg, dragging myself like I'm some horror film, saying, damn, you took the same shot? Mm-hmm. Damn. So it does have side effects. It says here, Big Pharma has now admitted that their COVID-19 vaccines can cause serious blood clots. They just admitted it now. Big Pharma said that. They held it from us.
And why do you think that? Why do you think they held it from us?
Oh, of course. Money, 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 money.
And
money, money, money.
That you would take
mm-hmm.
and that you would take that shot. Money and they, because like I said, this is another conspiracy, what I'm getting ready to say, is
mm-hmm.
they're trying to depopulate the world. So
mm-hmm.
what is a good enough way to put fear in people? To get them to do what they want you to do. Like I said, they create the problem, and then they want you
mm-hmm.
to run back to them to solve the problem.
That is true. That is true. And you know what that's called? Business. Business. I mean, if you really think about it, that we go back into the spiritual world, right? Our main fear is evil, the devil. The devil is big business. It's major business.
Big business.
And the churches love the devil because then people run to the churches to be saved from the devil. And so, but if there was no devil, there'd be no churches.
Correct.
The devil is good business. Satan and his crouton, the sales are open, baby. Dark Friday. But you're right, Laverne. You've got to create a problem so they can run to you to solve the problem, and it's going to cost you so much money. They did the same thing with cigarettes. If you're a smoker, those are not the same cigarettes you're smoking 5 years ago. They put some cartridges in that shit. I mean, if you look at the new cigarettes now, they burn out by themselves. Well, if you don't smoke them more than, if you're not smoking it more than like 30 seconds, they will burn out itself. Why does a cigarette burn out by itself? There's some shit in it.
That's a chemical
in
it.
Exactly. They put more chemical in it. I wouldn't be surprised if they put some fentanyl in that bitch. Anyway.
Everybody complains up here if you go to the reservations for the cigarettes, right?
Right.
They're not good for you. But they don't have all the chemicals in them.
They don't.
So,
they don't.
No. So I was smoking those.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't. But that's true. And that's true. And going back to the, are you vaccinated, Pat? Did you get your vaccination?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well. Because I here
have
says here,
autoimmune disease,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
So it would be super easy for me to get sick.
Right.
And I wouldn't have much chance of recovering if I did.
Right.
So.
Well.
What?
Well, it says here, Pat, do you suffer from, you don't have to make any comments on it. It says here that the COVID-19 vaccines can cause serious blood clots. And they don't stop the transmission and they wear off in a matter of months.
Well,
they usually
have a new vaccine out to go for at that point when they figure it's worn out.
Yeah.
True. Now, I'm not anti-vaxxer because my health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't afford to be an anti-vaxxer. So my son and my grandson refuse to get the vaccines. But
right.
my son's a trucker, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm with you, sister. I'm vaccinated, too. I'm vaccinated, too. But I'll, you know, and it goes with the theory, too. You know, people are not thinking about this side. I have a couple of neighbors, and they're not vaccinated against it, too. But you know what? Let's say you're a non-vaxxer. You're not vaccinated. But you fall in love with a vaxxer who is vaccinated.
Well, that's just like religious beliefs.
Yeah, but just because you're vaccinated doesn't mean that you can never get the COVID-19. What it means is that it won't affect you as harsh if you didn't have it. Am I saying it right? Am I saying it correctly? It's not going to prevent you to get it. You're still going to get it, but you're not going to get it as bad as somebody who was not vaccinated. So
well, I got it in December, Brian.
Yes.
And
you're still
and
good.
the only reaction I had is I lost my balance completely. But
so you fall
I
down?
Really wasn't sick. I wasn't sick.
Wow.
And John caught it too, and he was like he had a bad flu.
Right.
And I was just sitting here dizzy as fuck, you know.
Yeah.
I couldn't leave my chair for about 24 hours because of it.
I had the dizziness too. I had the dizziness
too.
Yeah, I did.
It
lasted
awful,
for about maybe a half an hour. Didn't go that long, but I'm worried about my short-term memory. It's like I know part of it with the coma, but this is before. This is right around COVID time. And here's Pat coming into work. It's like, Pat's going to read your card. Hi, Pat, how are you? And Pat's going to say, oops, I fell down. Right after her vaccination. There goes Pat again. Don't get vaccinated, Pat. Don't get vaccinated. So that was it.
You heard there's more COVID coming out, right?
I did hear that, and I did hear that people are going to go back and get vaccinated, and it's because of the winter time. This is going to go on like the flu season. See, I have never taken a flu shot. I was so against taking a flu shot, so against it. But it's going to be like the flu season, Pat.
I know.
Big Pharma needs this money. Big Pharma needs this money.
Well, the thing is, there's a new variant out in Europe right now. It's not in Canada yet. And I don't want to catch it. I really don't.
Right.
One
thing right.
enough.
So, Pat, that brings a question. I know you're with John, but let's give you a scenario. Since you are vaccinated and you're protecting your health, would you sleep with an unvaccinated person?
I don't know. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Depends how edible there.
It's something to think about. It's something
it really
to think
depends
about.
Depends on the moment. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Well, I understand that, but it might be a thought. Like, are you vaccinated? No, I'm not. Well, you know.
Well, I figure I am. So.
Brian,
I think you're asking the wrong question. I think the question would be, if you weren't vaccinated and you were sleeping with a vaccinated person, would the unvaccinated sleep with the one that had, that was vaccinated?
Right.
Oh yeah.
Because what harm can an unvaccinated person do to you if you vaccinated?
That's right.
Right. Right. Oh, okay. I got it backwards. Well, true. Well, yeah. Okay.
What harm could happen either way, really? I mean, other than being in public anyhow and catching it.
Well, that's true. And we move on to Robert. There's some people say that President John F. Kennedy... Some people believe that it wasn't Oswald, or it was Oswald, but he was a CIA asset. This was the conspiracy belief.
A home-done deal. That was CIA or somebody.
Do you believe it was CIA who
actually... Or somebody, yes.
yes.
Okay. Well, here it is. We'll finally get to the truth. They were asserting that the assassination of President John F. Kennedy was likely not committed by a lone crazy gunman, as been circulated for the last 60 years. The trove of released documents indicate a much more complicated reality that includes the probable involvement of the CIA. More evidence of something we've known for decades, Oswald was a CIA asset. For him to make that shot in a moving car like that is unbelievable. You would have to be
I remember that day, Brian. I remember that day. I was 5 years old, and we just had got a color TV, right? Because I'm really old.
Mm-hmm.
And so the screen on the TV was green all day, showing the assassination over and over and over and over, like it was all day.
Wow.
That's how I remember him.
I remember that.
And let me ask you this, Brian. Do you think if they are coming out with someone else shot him, do you think they'll change it in the history book?
That's a good point.
You
can't really undone what years and decades of children went through.
Oh, yes, you can.
To schools. Can you?
It's so easy.
Well, why they haven't... Okay, Brian. Not Brian, but Pat. Why haven't they changed that it really wasn't Columbus that discovered America?
Columbus Day, and there's celebrations, and they would have to change all that, and it would be embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we know in Canada the Vikings were here way before anybody else. You know, they were in Newfoundland.
They even tell us some of them when they met with the pilgrims. Okay, now if they want to call them pilgrims, okay, but they were here. So if they were here, no one discovered it.
I think
you can't. Go ahead.
I think that the history is very muddled for that period of time, and muddled for the Spanish conquering South America as well.
I think it's muffled. Period. That's why even with history, you got to go along with it to succeed here in this. In the society, but I think the majority of it is muffled.
You know what? When I was younger, I was in my 20s, I met guys from where I was working from Germany, right? And they had systematically taken out of the history books about World War II. And the man had no knowledge of World War II. And I said, well, geez, I'm German. And my dad was in the Hitler Youth School. You know, and it was all news to him because the history books had been erased.
Yeah.
It happened.
Ma'am.
It's happening in Russia right now. They're rewriting all the kids' history books.
Well, there's one that they did. We used to celebrate here in the States Columbus Day.
Yeah.
We don't celebrate Columbus Day anymore. Some of them change it to Indigenous Native Day. Some just don't say it at all. And what they found out was the lie that we were taught in school that, first of all, Columbus discovered America. He did not. And they discovered who Columbus was. He was a brutal, horrible person. He was a killer and a murderer and a rapist of children, who Columbus was. And he did this towards the indigenous people. The truth finally came out. And this man was just horrible. And they just recently, maybe in the last 3 years, 4 years, that they got rid of Columbus Day. Now, the Italians went crazy over this because the Italians were happy that they finally got a holiday by an Italian. They were nuts over this. And so when you tell an Italian the truth about Columbus, they're basically going to cut your head off. They don't want to hear it. But I goes, the truth is, we look at the holiday. We don't celebrate anymore. There's a reason why. And we go back to JFK, and here's this guy's theory of JFK. Here we go.
Think for a moment about how the world had changed. Police quickly catch the culprit, but many believe there's more to the story.
The first question any good theorist asks is, who wants Kennedy dead?
Now, we'll explore the top theories surrounding one of America's most shocking events.
So he was convinced that Kennedy was killed by enemies high in his own government.
He believed that Fidel Castro orchestrated the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Is there a conspiracy behind John F. Kennedy's assassination? And if so, who is really responsible for his death?
My cousin is coming over with his daughter.
The President of the United States is dead.
The assassination...
We got that going on now as we're talking. What's happening in Russia? The leader is it a Wagner?
Prigozhin.
Prigozhin
died, yes. They shot him down. He was shot down by air defense. Yes, he was.
Well, some people...
They got rid of him.
Getting angry. I didn't shut down my conspiracy theory.
No, they got rid of him. That is a conspiracy theory.
Okay. Okay. See how it goes here. You're not even open for discussion. Some people don't want to hear the truth.
Have you been following it closely?
I've been following it, and it's like the Western news are saying that they're not quick to say he is dead. The conspiracy theories are going on that that's not him. He has a body double.
He's dead.
A bomb on him. Okay.
No, he's dead.
Okay. I'm going to slowly walk away from you. Okay. I'm going to talk
Putin
over here.
Putin had to kill him.
Well, that's what people were saying.
He disgraced Putin.
Yes, but the other people were saying that, why did Putin wait so long? Normally, Putin put him to death right away.
There is a saying in Russia that revenge is a dish served cold. Waiting 2 months on the exact day of his march on Moscow, it was 2 months exactly.
That's what they say. But then the conspiracy theory is going to go on about that was not him. There were two planes.
There were two planes. They arrested everybody on the second plane.
Okay.
So even if he was alive, he will be dead.
Yes.
They will kill him.
Yes, and they did. But again, when it first came out,
he really was in the first plane. If have you seen the footage of the plane dropping out of the sky?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, nobody escapes that. Especially the fireball that started on the ground when it landed.
Yeah. Right. Well, there's new documents shedding light on CIA's connection to Lee Harvey Oswald. The documents obtained by investigators this week said that the man who allegedly killed the president, John F. Kennedy, was involved in an official, and it cuts off from there. An official what? And that's it. Saying that you're calling it a conspiracy. That's really more accurate for it. permission for releasing John F. Kennedy, then that's it. It was supposed to be 20, but that was it. Those some of the theories are true. That's part of the show. That was it. So what have we learned? You can measure, if a woman wanted a penis, you can measure your hand by your wrist to your elbow, by your index finger, and that will tell you, if you're a man, how big your penis will be. After all this stuff that I just told you, you're going to remember the penis story. Oh, I got a penis story out of this. Of all
but
these
Juan,
conspiracy
you,
theories. Yes, ma'am.
Do you know where the word conspiracy come from? Who? Not the
conspire.
Definition of where it came from.
Conspire. I'm thinking out loud. Conspiracy definition is conspire, meaning to invent. That's all I could. That's all I could do on top of my mind, to invent a story. But you tell me.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, because I'm saying I'm not talking about the definition. I'm saying
okay.
Where did it come from altogether, and it was the CIA. They brought that word conspiracy up and out so that, and it in that kind of knowledge that they don't want to get out. They would put that word on it, you know, this is a conspiracy. And they had their people online and everywhere else writing that, you know, telling the story the way they want to say it and said that, you know, because what you might have heard is a conspiracy because they don't want you to believe it.
I should get the vacuum because I should clean behind
that makes
fridge.
Sense. That does make sense.
We should
Vern,
get out
you're
the
absolutely
vacuum
right, and I do
so
believe
I can
that.
Clean behind the
I do believe that. Thank you. It does make sense.
It's a regular vacuum.
You know, I was wondering, you know, how and why people come up with these theories, man. Who does this stuff? I mean, it's easy to go social media. If you're a teenager and you got like 10,000 followers because they go to the same school, and that 10,000 tells the other 10,000, then it becomes real. Well, here
but
it is.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
No, no, go ahead, Laverne.
No,
go ahead.
I was going to say, if somebody come out with a piece of a truth that meant to be kept secret or hidden, if somebody come out with that, then they put conspiracy on, label that as a conspiracy. But it starts, I believe, that it starts with some truth.
Right.
Hidden truth.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And if you want to make a perfect lie, you got to have some truth in the recipe. You cannot make up a lie with no truth in it. It's like, I was going to the forest and I wasn't really high, but I seem high. And I was in the forest in Oregon and I saw Bigfoot fly. Now, you're not going to think Bigfoot's going to fly.
That's when you'd say something like you were a little high at the time.
Right. Now, that's the truth. Now, if I said it like, you know, I was in a forest and I saw some weed, but it wasn't really weed. But, damn, I'm tripping. And I saw Bigfoot, and he was arguing with a little foot, and then there were some feet. And they killed him. Now I'm going to go back and go to the detox center. You won't, but then, you know, if I said I was in a forest and I saw a man, a big man, and it was in the general area, I don't know if it was Bigfoot or not, but he walked kind of hunched over like he's looking for some coins. And he ran. And the man, that person was like 7'2". 7'2".
Well, there's a lot of 7'2" guys anymore.
Right, but no, he has some serious back hair, like fur. But go ahead, Laverne.
If Edward Snowden had dropped a little bit of his information, a little bit at a time, people would have called that a conspiracy.
Right.
But since it was leaked all at once, you know, they could no longer put that label on it.
Right. Now, when I was a kid, there was a conspiracy theory or a legend that you go to Mexico. There's a part of Mexico in Tijuana that this woman makes love to a donkey. This stories were circulated for years. For years. Pastor Don, have you ever heard that story? That the donkey show in Tijuana? Have you ever heard that story?
I have. Yes, sir.
Yeah, there you go.
Heard a lot of dog and pony shows. Stories.
You heard that? But I'm thinking the donkey show is the most popular one ever. I heard it, you know. And so I don't know. Now, that donkey must be 110 years old right by now. He must be dead, you know, because there's another theory I heard when I was a kid. Tell me if you heard this about, it was called Spanish Fly. Do you guys ever heard of Spanish Fly?
Uh-huh.
Remember Spanish Fly?
Yes.
And the theory was that you can only get it like in Mexico, again, Mexico. And you put a little drop of that in a woman's water or tea, and away we go. That she gets so hot, she gets so bothered that she just jumps on you forever. She loses control of all of her senses, and it's just horny, 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 horny. Spanish Fly. That's the thing. And I wonder if you get that on the internet. Let me go to Amazon. But that was the thing. Have you guys heard that story? Anybody?
Yes.
No, but yeah. I have to go, guys. I just had a company come in.
Sure, kiddo. I'm going to close the show right now anyway, but thank you for coming in.
Thank you for coming in. Okay.
And we hope to see you later. And I'm seeing
you,
Spanish Fly. Bye-bye. They even have African Fly for all natural vegans. Wow.
Really?
African Fly?
Really?
Yeah, they do. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Thank you, Pat. Thank you so much.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I got. Thank you, Pat. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
That's all I got, and nobody wants to listen to the news because all I got is the news next, and I'll just depress you. So I'm going to end the show. I want to thank Pastor Don, CEO of The Winning Team. It's a pleasure hearing your voice, sir. Thank you for coming in, sir.
Thank you. Great.
You're welcome. We're working on that music show. You're gonna, in the next couple of weeks, man. I'm working hard on it. You're going to be surprised. It'll probably help you. We'll talk, sir. We will talk.
All
right. Laverne, the Ebony Queen and the Goddess of All.
Have a good day, too.
Thank you, lovely lady. Thank you so much for keeping us company, and your voice in the room is just really beautiful. Thank you so much, Laverne. I appreciate it. I know
you
have company.
You.
I know you're away. So, and I do know that.
Thank you, and you are welcome.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, if you ever need me, you know how to get a hold of me. Enjoy the family, and God bless you, and I will see you tomorrow. Thank you, Laverne.
All right, now.
Bye-bye, sweetheart.
Bye-bye, sweetie.